Dear Father, we thank thee, we can pray these prayers and better question. We ask that thou wouldst gird them up, those that are in need, whether of health, whether whatever it may be, whether of difficulties with their relatives, their mothers, their grandmothers, their pastor's wives, different ones that have been requested for prayer. We know that thou canst touch hearts, and those that are in need, those that have the request, give them grace, give them strength, give them courage to maintain whatever it may be that's difficulty in their lives. And help them, Lord, be with them and minister to them. Any of them that have requested prayer are lost and unsaved, bring them to the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can help them, and in Him we can do all things through His strength that strengthens us. Let us now talk about Thy Word today, tonight, this book of Corinthians. We pray in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. All right, in the book of... In the book of 1 Corinthians, beginning to chapter 14, those who are listening with us, please give us a call at 856-261-9018. Our questions at BibleFreedom.org, or 856questions@bfdbc.org. I'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, the comments, or anything else. Let's begin by reading 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Follow after charity, and desire of spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And he that prophesieth speaketh unto man for edification, and exhortation, and comfort. Why do we have a call before that, before we begin? Hello? Hello? Oh, cash. Well, thank you very much. You got it. Good. Thank you very much. Okay, let's wave the cash. That's Weber. Okay. Well, thank you, Cass. I'm glad you're there. All right, now, in the first chapter 14, what are we to follow after? In verse 14:1, what are we to follow after? Paul?
In the verse 14, the first passage.
That's right.
Follow
after charity, I guess. And the 10th.
It's okay. Same thing.
And you remember, and desire spiritual gifts, but what is the thing that they'd rather do during this time when these gifts, sign gifts, were present? Is it 10?
Prophecy.
The prophecy. Now, I notice in chapter 13, in verse 8, what is true of both tongues and prophecies. Okay?
There's someone tuning in from New York.
Oh, good. Let's wave to Anna. Anna Waite, our granddaughter. Wonderful. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to speak up now, Anna. Don't let us down. Get some comments. I'm sure you got them. What are the two things mentioned in verse 8 of 13, chapter 13, verse 8, that he's spoken of right here, chapter 14, verse 1? That's it?
Charity.
That's the third thing.
Spiritual gifts.
Okay, spiritual gifts.
Prophecy.
Okay, but also what else? I know charity, spiritual gifts, but what's the other thing? In verse
prophecy.
Number 8. It's
prophecy.
Well, prophecy, but what else?
About verse number 8 or verse number 1?
Well, chapter 13, verse 8, that's talked about there. And also here.
Tongues.
Tongues. All right, so it's a prophecy. What is true in verse 13, 8 concerning both of these sign gifts? Prophecies of that.
They're
going to
cease or fail.
They're going to cease and fail. When are these sign gifts, when were they available to the church and right there in the church, saved people who were able to do these things? When were they present?
During the transitional time period prior to the close of the canon.
All right. When was the close of the Bible or the canon? Roughly. When was that? Okay. Bill?
About 90 A.D.
Maybe 90 or 100 A.D. The Bible is complete. But during this whole section in the New Testament, especially here in 1 Corinthians and other places, it talks about these sign gifts. How many sign gifts are there altogether? Pastor Lent?
About 9.
That's right, about 9. That's what, 9 sign gifts at that?
Verses 8 through 10 of chapter 12.
Yes, they're there.
And there's 9.
There's the 9, that's right. I'm working on that right now in the book that I'm writing on 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And so I just covered the 9 different ones. And when did the 9 sign gifts actually cease? What did they cease? All of them, not simply these two, but all. Is it 10?
At the close of the canon.
Close of the canon. That's not a shining, shooting canon, but the scripture, the canon of scripture, when the Bible was completed. Does everyone believe that and agree with us on that? No. But it's clear in chapter 13 that these things will cease when that which is perfect is come, and that which is perfect is it masculine or neuter? Any hands on that? That which is perfect. That's it, yeah?
It's neuter.
It's neuter. And so what can it ever refer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ if it's neuter? Is he neuter?
No.
No, he's masculine. And so what is a neuter word that this does refer to? That was pretty intense.
The Bible.
The Bible. Tom Bibbian has a neuter word. And when the Bible's committed, and we have a battle with lots of charismatics and Pentecostals and all that don't agree with us on that. But when Paul was writing this, and during the time of the Bible, all these gifts were there. So in view of that, let's continue and look at verse 14, chapter verse number 1. Which is better, all counsels, even when these gifts are there, prophecy or tongues? The first one just mentions one, but in verse number 2, you have both of them. What would he prefer?
Actually, it's in verse 3.
Verse 3, yes, right, verse 3.
Actually, it doesn't talk about both of them.
Okay, that's it.
In verse 13, it says the greatest is charity.
That's right.
And they these occurs continuing on in verses chapter 14 to follow after charity.
Mm-hmm. So, will charity fail ever? No. When the Bible is finished, when it's not complete, when it's partial, it'll always be. But these other sign gifts will stop and cease, even though some people differ with us on that. Now, in the gift, the sign gift of prophecy, what happens in that sign gift? What happened? What does it define that then?
Well, there's a message from God.
All right.
I mean, kind of like the Old Testament prophets.
Right.
The Lord spoke to them, mm-hmm. and then they spoke to the people.
Mm-hmm. So God had a message that through the gift of prophecy in the time before the Bible was completed, these were messages, as you say, from God that people, Christian people, to follow and understand. And that's what he would say. Spiritually, but rather that you prophesy and have these gifts from God. Then in verse number 2, what is true of the, what is this unknown tongue in verse 2? How would you define that unknown tongue? May I answer that? Yeah, Paul.
In verse 2:14, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God.
Yes. That's
no man understandeth
how being mysterious.
He speaketh mysteries.
That's right, that's good, Paul, for verse number 2. And how would we define unknown tongue? How would you define it, Pastor Dan?
A known foreign language.
All right. A known foreign language, but unknown to the person that's giving the gift. What is the purpose? How would God use that in the New Testament days? Of unknown tongues, yes, 10?
Well, it was used at Pentecost.
What?
The apostles.
Where's that located?
Shared the gospel, chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. Acts, chapter 2. And they shared the gospel those four countries.
With people that were there for the Feast of Pentecost.
Right.
They were Jews. Mm-hmm. They were there all over the world.
Had the apostles ever studied these languages before?
No.
Special gift of God.
They were unknown to them.
Unknown to them, absolutely.
But not unknown to their hearers.
To the hearers. The hearers spoke them. So
the hearers knew they were speaking that real language.
Yes, very important. And it is defined as an unknown language. If you had that gift in the Bible times, what is the negative about this gift? And what is the positive? In verse number 2. Something is not true, something is true. What can you answer that? First number 2, yes, back to that.
When you're speaking to men, mm-hmm. though they're speaking to God.
All right. And unknown tongue, not to man, because the men don't know, but God knows an unknown language. Now, a person that knows Hebrew, for example, or whatever Jews spoke in that day, if they, an unknown tongue, a completely different language, would they be able to understand that? The Hebrew people? The Jews? No, but it's not going. God understands it. No man understands it, except the ones that live in that particular country and nation, as in Acts chapter 2. That's correct. But in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. What is a mystery? If he has this gift in Bible times, what is a mystery word? Especially that?
Mystery is a sacred secret.
Sacred secret. That's right. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. So it's a secret that God speaks. Then in verse number 3, what is true of the prophecy? What, and when it was a gift, and when it was practiced, what did it do for Israel? And what was its purpose, and how did God use that special sign gift during the Bible times? And?
It was used for edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Those three things. How do we define exhortation? Let's start with those three things. How do we define that? Any hands on that? Exhortation.
Encouraging somebody to do something that's on the right track, to do the right thing.
Yes. Exhortation, that's right. And then the one that got backwards, edification, what is that?
Building up.
Building up. Encouragement, building up strong. And then comfort is what? How we define
support.
Support and things that will help people to calm their problems and difficulties. All right, have a seat right here. There I got it. Yes, Bonnie Walls. Bonnie, thank you.
Dr. Whitty, talking about verse 2, and then, of course, verse 3, could part of this be somewhat of a commentary on about how the books were getting, the information was going into the biblical books, you know, what? Like mysteries, you know, the mystery about the church. And I'm just wondering if part of this is talking about the preparation of the books of the Bible, the New Testament.
Yes, that's good. We'll take that. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Let's wave to London Walls over there. Thank you very much. And Pastor Dan, how do we answer this as far as the preparation for the New Testament and some of these scientists?
Well, it's just laying the foundation, perhaps, as far as that's concerned. But once they ceased, you see, the canon of scripture is completed. Mm-hmm. God does give, and communicate to man in scripture, you know, that's the process of inspiration. Revelation reveals, he revealed to man certain things that they wanted to write down, mm-hmm. and some of those things they did write down, and they became scripture.
Mm-hmm. And so the prophets that God used to write the scriptures, the New Testament books, that was a revelation from God, and these things right here, well, temporarily, weren't rated books here, weren't rated Bible books at this point, but the principle is similar because it's something that God gives to men to be able to understand and do these three things as mentioned here for edification, exhortation, and comfort. These are not gifts mentioned here specifically in writing of the books, but every writer that wrote God used to write the scriptures, New Testament scriptures, was given that special word, every word God breathed and it revealed to the writer, like Paul writing here in 1 Corinthians. All right, and let's read verse number 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, and he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And would that ye all speak with tongues, rather that ye prophesy. The greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except the interpreter, that the church may be edified.
See,
4, 5, and read 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by faith? Like verse 4, what is true here that speaketh an unknown tongue? What is it true? What happens back to them?
Identifieth himself.
Identifieth himself. So he's encouraged by the Lord, because the Lord is using him and understanding certainly that he wants him to find out and to know. But what is the contrast to the prophesying?
It edifies the whole church.
The whole church. Now, if
but for he that speaketh in unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, unto God. So if you speak in unknown tongue, you're speaking to God. For no man understands, and however in the Spirit he speaks of mysteries.
Then verse
nobody understands the things he says with God, and it's all big mystery.
That's right. In verse number 4, the Christian believer, the genuine Christian, who had been given that sign gift of speaking foreign language to someone else, identifies himself, he feels the power of God, but he that prophesies upon God, really, if really is some of his truth, he edifies the whole church. Well, it's a building, it's a much better gift, even in the days when it was used. Then in verse number 5, what does it mean, I would? Oh, excuse me, fine.
Do you think the church was filled with many people that spoke different languages, and so they had the tongue speaking so they all could understand the one language?
It's possible, although we see a little bit later, it may not be true. And some of the other verses.
I was wondering.
Yeah, that's possible.
If there are 5 people in here speaking different languages, yeah. But then if suddenly you came up and spoke one that we all could understand, maybe a new language or something.
That's right. So it's basically those that are in foreign languages, tongue, or language, special language, would help them to understand. And what person mean, I would? You know, I mean, what do you intend?
That's his desire.
That's his desire? And what was his desire? 2 desires. One is not as strong as the other. What's the first one that he would? In verse number 5. Can I answer that? That time?
Not everyone can speak in tongues.
This time, everybody speaks the language so people can understand a foreign language. If it's French or German or whatever it is, or Spanish in our day or other languages. But what's the preference? He'd like to have people speaking these foreign languages so people can understand the gospel, but what's his preference after that?
Prophecy.
Special language. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment to say hello. If not.
I forget what I was going to say, but something about prophecy.
It's more important than speaking in tongues.
So there, somehow or other, they should stop speaking in tongues. They should just talk.
Yeah, he'd rather have this.
Rather
have it prophesied. Now, what if that gift were here today, and somebody says, I've got the gift of prophecy, signed gift of prophecy, and he says something that's completely contrary to the Bible? Is that probably a
technique? He'd be a false prophet.
False prophet. And so that's what a lot of these things. These are our Bibles for pig. God doesn't want to add anything more. Here the Bible wasn't completely added, so God used these special sign gifts, but it ceased when the Bible was complete about 1900 AD. And so he'd rather have you prophesy, correct things from God.
So don't you think it was possible at that time there may have been false prophets that were, you know, saying they had a prophecy from God? Yeah. And in fact, it went contrary to the scripture that was already given.
Already given, yes. I'm sure there were false prophecies, just like in the Old Testament, were false prophets. I think of that story that we read in our Bible a day or two ago, where one prophet was told to go to a certain place, perform what he had to perform, and come right back home. Don't eat there, don't stop there, go right back home. And then another prophet said, I saw a thing from the Lord. He told me. The older prophet, see, lying through his teeth. And because the younger prophet didn't obey God, he was killed by a lion. Terrible, terrible. So, since some people are false prophets as well, and we're going to talk about that yesterday.
But that was interesting because both his donkey and the lion just stood there.
Yes.
They killed him, but they didn't eat him, devour him.
That's right.
They just stood there beside him.
That's exactly right.
He's dead, which is interesting.
And what did the old prophet want to be done to him when he died?
Put his bones with the
his bones old,
with the young prophet.
Young prophet, it was a true prophet. And this coming Sunday, we're going to be speaking 2 Timothy. We've got a number of verses on false prophets and false teachers and so on. So this is very bad indeed. So in verse number, that was, number 5, all speak, but rather, that means the best thing is in that day when the Bible is not complete, prophecies, things from God to reveal to the genuine Christians what they should do, what they should believe. And who's greater? False, the speaking in tongues or prophecies? One of the prophecies is greater. And
because you can understand.
That's right. Except what? If a man speaking in foreign language, interpretation. Now, when we were reporters, Mr. Wade and me, and we were reporters at this huge Kansas City, Kansas, or Missouri, at that big conference of charismatics, they would speak in tongues, and somebody tried to interpret. You know whether that interpretation is right or wrong. Some people have said, I've read it in books, that when these present-day tongue speakers, the prophesied speakers, the language that they talk, some of it is a filthy, filthy, rotten, satanic meaning. People that know that language they're supposed to be speaking, it's a terrible thing. I don't know who it was or when it was, but I remember hearing about that. But
Joseph Chambers
is a Pentecostal charismatic. He believes like we do in many of these areas, but these 9 gifts, he stands with and I stand against. So we were in meetings one time, and he's a good speaker, preachers, a good sound speaker, yeah, Bill.
Yeah, the tongues that they supposedly speak in these days, they're not real words. They don't form any part of language at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's just syllables rolling off of a person's tongue. It's a spontaneous thing, just sort of like jazz improvisation or
gibberish. Gibberish.
Yes, it's just gibberish.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, that's why they're not real tongues. They're not real languages. Many of the situations, and some are, but most of them aren't. They just babble, babble, babble. But in verse number 5, if you do have this gift, even in Paul's day before the Bible was complete, interpretation. Now, when we were there at that meeting, they tried to interpret something. I don't know whether they interpreted it right or wrong, but they had some sort of people up there. But
they stood up there and they talked this other language, and then they had different people up there that would tell us what that meant.
Exactly.
Why did the first thing get up?
Was that?
They were just making
it up.
They're
making it up, as far as I can see, absolutely.
They were so happy making it up.
Yes, yeah. But the church, even in those days, had to be edified and built up in the faith. And then in verse number 6, when he comes, if he comes speaking in tongues, what's going to happen then? Paul says, what if I come speaking in foreign languages to you? In verse 5, verse 6. Back to that.
He's wondering what prophet's going to be for them. Unless it's going to be revelation or going to be a prophecy.
All right. What shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge of prophecy. In other words, in those languages, they're not going to help anybody. Unless there's interpretation of it, many times there wasn't apparently. But except they shall speak to you either by what? 3 things. Or 2 things. Or 3 things. Yes, better.
Doctrine is one of them.
Doctrine? What else?
Revelation.
Verse 6. What else? There's a third.
Revelation.
So, something that builds them up and edifies them, and not just not an understanding of any kind. Well, number 6.
And knowledge is another one. We miss knowledge.
Revelation, knowledge. My preference by doctrine, yeah, that's 4. Thank you. Yes, Ken.
So with the knowledge, would that be the spiritual gift, or is that something else?
It is one of the 9 assigned gifts mentioned in, later on in 1 Corinthians, but I think in this, there's knowledge, but this is special knowledge. It's special knowledge that God gives, not just knowing about facts and so on. So I think this is probably the knowledge that's mentioned in First Corinthians, where it's placed.
And this is the spiritual gifts?
Probably spiritual gifts.
Yeah, that's one spiritual gift.
Special knowledge, divine knowledge, specially given to them that nobody else can know.
So I have a question. What would be the difference between revelation and prophecy, prophesying?
Probably similar.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of revelation, I almost think of the giving of the scripture.
The scripture, yes. Bill?
Since we don't know exactly what that knowledge is, perhaps it might be something on the order of what God gave to Solomon for his wisdom.
Okay.
You know, maybe not to the extent that Solomon had it, mm-hmm. but perhaps it was a gift in that sense, too.
Good. Questions at bftpc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. I'd like to hear from you. And so then in verse 7, 8, and 9 together, verses. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction of the sounds, how shall they know what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet gave an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? So likewise, he, except he uttered by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For he shall speak into the air. All right, to verse number 7. Things giving sound. What are the illustrations of sound we mentioned in verse 8? What type of things are giving sound here? Thank you, Matt.
Trumpet.
Trumpet is one. And what else? Yes, Dan?
A pipe and a harp.
Well, those are musical instruments. Now, if those are trying to play a song or a tune that we know, that's one thing. But if we don't know anything about it, it's meaningless. People can ride along with music. Like, for instance, the music you hear when you're waiting to call someone and have them answer. You know, have little music things on the radio or the song. And we don't know what that's like. Just a bunch of nice music. We don't know what they're saying. They don't say anything. Let's see what we got here. Oh, my. In Boston. No, I didn't. Hello, Rob Winograd from Chicago.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everyone. I got a couple things. I think Sister Violin was asking them if they knew they were writing scripture. Mm-hmm. I think they absolutely did. Peter alludes to Paul's writings in 2 Peter 3, verse 16. He refers to Paul's writings as scripture.
Yes.
And one of the verses in this, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that he did know that he was saying scripture. And much of the new evangelicals now, they say, no, they have no idea what they were writing.
Mm-hmm.
And on the tongues here, they were a sign for them to believe not. And he also alludes to Isaiah 28:11, verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. It was a stumbling block for many of them, but it was also a great conviction, probably the Gentiles, when they came into the church to see this miraculous thing of tongues.
Mm-hmm.
The whole chapter deals with Paul was saying that they were elevating tongues about prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said, you know, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I mean, they were vetted, they were examined, and they were held up to scripture also, to the Old Testament. And Paul was a Pharisee, and he constantly quoted the Old Testament. And I think that also crosses over again to that he knew he was writing scripture. He was quoting scripture over and over again, and I do believe he knew scripture.
Yes. That's good, Paul. I mean, Rob, thank you very much. Let's wave to Paul.
Rob.
That's right, Rob. Check in a minute here. Wave to Rob in Chicago. All right, thank you very much. And that helps with the Bonnet's question as well. To answer that, that's great. So in verse number 8, number 7, I guess we're still in 7, without life with the harps and the pipes. People who have music, they hear music and organs, different things, but you don't know what they're playing. It just sounds, but it has to have something they can understand. That's Tam.
Okay. Ian's got a couple comments here.
Good.
It says, see 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, the uncertain sound.
Yes, that's very good. Thank you, Anna. Let's wave to Anna. York, Pennsylvania. York, Pennsylvania. Thank you very much. All right, so the hype and the pipe and the harp and these musical sounds, a distinction in sounds. And not just simply just very long, yes, Dan?
It's interesting. It says life-giving sound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
life-giving
sound. So somehow there's...
Verse number 7.
Verse 7.
using instruments, whether it's piano or saxophone, clarinet, trumpet, trombone, viola, violin, there's certain sounds that they make that they make a tune that we understand, especially that we understand. So it's got to be understood, distinction in sounds. How should we know what's piped? It has to be a distinction. The flats all over the piano, Tammy does the piano, my wife does the piano. It must be understood what it's playing, what it's
harping. When you play the wrong note, it's obvious too.
It's obvious too, that's exactly right. So that was 5, 6, and 7, was it? Are we ready for 8?
We started on 7.
Oh.
And so we have 8 and 9.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. And now, this is verse 8 is tremendous, very, very valuable for many things. What is mentioned here? Oh, just let me get this for first.
Verse 8.
Oh, okay.
Why is it valuable?
Barbara, call again. I didn't do it. Oh, wait a minute, I almost got it. That's right.
Right.
You keep getting lost. I call again, Barbara. I'm sorry about that. If I don't get it in the right way, I lose it. Okay, we'll try again. For instance, back then.
Call of battle.
Yes, call of battle.
What
are the different sounds in the Old Testament for the trumpets? 3 or 4 purposes, yes, Dan?
Gathering
together.
An alarm.
What else, Pastor?
For war.
For war, okay. So these are special things, so yeah, fine.
When you used to have camp, and you would call, give different calls, and nobody said a word. They just played those calls.
Right. A bugle call. I was a bugler.
The people would know the march, whether to stand in line.
Let's see if I get this. I think I got it.
Yeah, keep it off your belt.
Yes, go ahead. Barbara, go ahead. I got it this time. Barbara Master right here in New Jersey. Amen. Thank you, Barbara. That's a good thing. Good comment. Lord, now, Pastor Daniel, please,
Ron. does that really mean that the sun will give light? Like when a baby cries, when it's first born?
I think the things are without life. I think, I misunderstood it when he was talking about it.
So what do you think it is, Tim?
Well, I think the things don't have life in themselves, but they give sound.
They give sound.
So that's good.
Yes. That's an end. You're saying that.
I think they also use drunk to assemble for feasts.
What is it?
Come and get your challenge.
Oh, yeah. Now, we're talking about bugle sounds.
Pipes.
It's a trumpet give an uncertain sound. Give me three or four different trumpet bugle calls, and what do they mean? Number one is what?
Meals.
Come and get your chocolate. That's right. Come and get your bean. That's one. The call, the bugle call for food. What's another?
Taps.
What does that mean? It's the end of the day.
It's time to go to bed.
Yes.
Sing the taps.
Or also at a funeral, right? At a funeral? And they do that at funerals.
The funerals also. What's the third one?
The rise of whatever it is.
That's food. Come get your baby. But
how does that one go?
What do you mean
for rise?
See, what is it for? I can't hear it.
We need a trumpeter here.
I think that's a
trumpeter.
We'll go hold on that, but some would know, give us a call, 856-261-9018. What's another one?
Colors.
Colors. Let me see if we get the colors.
You talked to her
years ago.
Colors. To the colors. We
don't know. Someone call in with the colors. Here comes the colors. All right, thank you. Thank you for the colors.
There we go.
Hey, Rob, go ahead, give me the colors. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead. Rabbi, go ahead, Rabbi. That's right.
I'm not sure right now.
Well, repeat it, just the first phrase again. Repeat the first phrase again of the revel. Just go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. That's right. Okay, that's good. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Another call.
What do you do when you are going into formation? What's the call? Get ready.
Anna says, I never learned them all, but I wanted to.
Okay. What is first call?
What does first call mean?
It means the first call before you get in the formation.
Get in line, get a formation. Oh, okay.
Then what is last call? What is the final call? Once you're in the call, then you pay attention, you play a second call. First call is get ready to go, get in formation, then second call. There's an assembly call as well. That's it.
The pastor wanted to say hello to you and all the BFD Church family. Thank you for tonight's Bible study. Carl also wanted to send his thanks and appreciate to Mrs. Waite the lovely birthday card we received. God bless each one in his love, Vicki and Carl.
Vicki and Carl in Elbert, they wave to them over there in Massachusetts, right? From Maine, that's right, state of Maine, that's right.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. Damn right, but that's what
she did. When are you going to come see us?
I think they're similar. That's what the assembly. You better be there right now, otherwise you get penalized out there in time. All right, well, it's a trumpet. It's a trumpet of an uncertain sound. What is true is the trumpet does not give a certain sound. What happens?
You don't know. You're confused.
Confused? And what's the last part of that verse say?
I can't remember.
That time?
Who shall prepare himself to the battle?
So it's very, very important. And if we identify the trumpet as the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures, like we believe that the King James Bible, accurate translation for the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek language, excellent translation. If we don't have that real solid, clear-cut trumpet call, then we don't know where to read the Bible. We've got to know this, yet, back in
that. Mama's asking, she's wondering about the wake-up call.
Wake-up call. Like
but Rob, that was the one that Rob did.
Probably. What was that wake-up call again?
I don't know, but Rob did it.
Is that it? Okay. So, as I say, it's been a number of years since I've been here.
Yeah, early.
You
got to get up in the morning.
Got to get up in the morning. Is that the wake-up call? Got to get up.
I think that's the wake-up call. I think that's what we said. All right. No, but we've got to have the proper call, and that's why I need the proper Bible to prepare. So otherwise, we're not prepared for the battle. We've got to be prepared for this battle. We've got a battle on our hands today, all kinds of things. So that's my verse number 8. We read 9, didn't we?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yes, okay. This is the last verse. What is true of this verse? What is the danger? What is it warning us about? Any hands on that?
Well, first, you have to speak so you can be understood, or you may not talk. Is that what you want?
That's right. It's easy to be understood when you talk. You can't be
talking. If you just make a bunch of noise, it goes into the air.
That's right. And how should it be known what is spoken of? Speak into the air. In other words, this is a waste of time. It has to be clear. If there's foreign language, if they have that gift of these days when Paul was writing this, then they can make it clear for the foreigners, and so on. Let's see what this is.
They stopped.
Faith Peterson, voicemail. I didn't get the sound, at least she called and said something. That's good.
Why wouldn't it be there?
Well, I don't know. She just wanted. The dingle is a little bit different than an actual voice. It's just a little tiny message.
The dingle and dangle.
Yeah, dingle is a little bit different. So that's verse number 9. Easy to understand. Speak of it and waste your time. Here, now that's a real call. See, that blink and blink. Okay. Yes, Rob again. Go ahead, Rob. Flag is going up. Good.
What's that one?
So far.
There it is.
What's that one? Here?
It's all the same.
All the same.
That was just interrupted.
Yes, me too. That's great.
What else does he have?
Thank you
us?
Very much, Rob. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Let's wave around one grand hand in Chicago. Thank you very much.
We could have him turn that on every time church was supposed to start.
Yeah, that's good. Any other calls or comments before we close tonight? That's very
nice. That's nice. That's nice.
You just call people or send them an email with a link and then they can.
Yes, we can link it right. Get that call. Any other comments before we close? If not, let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father. God has revealed to Paul these verses, these whole chapter, the whole book of 1 Corinthians. We thank you we can discuss it and talk about it. And though these gifts were there in Paul's day and up until the Bible was completed, we do not believe that they're still with us today. And the charismatics and the Pentecostals that hold that, they differ with us, and at times fight with us about it. But and the charismatic movement is going astray, going into modernism and apostasy. And Brother H.T. Spence used to be charismatic in Pentecostal, but he left it when they began to break. So things are happening. Guide us and direct us, bring us back safely to the Lord's day, and help us to live for our Savior and love Him and serve Him the best that we can. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you.